Welcome to Take What You Need. Think of this as a weekly catch-up between me and you where we talk about everything. From the mindset shifts that make us better versions of ourselves, to discussing how the media and marketing play an even bigger role in the story of our lives than we might think. Each week, I delve into the questions that you, the listeners, have asked and share my take on the topics that matter the most to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode. I'm just going to get straight into it. I'm really excited to share just some stuff that I've been thinking about over the last couple of weeks, especially when it comes to creating something of value, the blocks that we face when we are trying to ideate new things, whether that's online, whether that's in your business, whether that's at work. There's so many scenarios, and I have found that this way of thinking helps me to release and unblock the different pressures that sometimes come with quote unquote creative block, the things that get in our way that really shouldn't be in our way. Over the last couple of years, I've watched closely with joy and excitement about the possibility that new social media platforms, new technology, new ideas have created for the culture. Specifically new entrants most recently like Web3, NFTs, TikTok and the like. And one thing's for sure is that things are changing so quickly and it's not always easy to catch up. It can actually be quite overwhelming sometimes. And I came across this tweet that said, and I quote, "I hope Twitter survives. It's the only app that doesn't require you to create content like your Tyler Perry selling Play DVDs." Now I'm not here to debate the quality of different types of film, but if you've seen that episode of Atlanta that's based on Tyler Perry Studios, you kind of get the vibe, this idea of like constantly churning out different pieces of information and different content where the quality control is, let's say, it's a bit shaky because you're just trying to do so much. You're trying to do so much in such a short space of time. And while it's like a funny and like cutting tweet, like all of Twitter, it speaks to this idea that many of us feel like we're trapped in a constant cycle of trying to keep up with trends that seem to change every day. And that's just unsustainable. Unless you have a team behind you of like 20 people focused on digital, you'll never ever feel like you're constantly keeping up. And I'm sure the teams that have, you know, dozens of people in them also feel that way. By the time you've mastered one strategy, it feels outdated. And if you're new to sharing your ideas and promoting yourself, or if you're coming back from a hiatus online, it just feels futile to even start trying to get back into the game. The anxiety, the confusion, the lack of direction can be really, really real. And I think that is a type of creative block that many of us suffer from. There are other types of creative block that are associated with actually being able to generate ideas. But where I think a lot of people are stuck is that we have these ideas that float in our minds and we come up with stuff, but we can't actually get it out. That's where many of us are stuck. Most of the time we beat ourselves up, you know, we can't get it out. I just need to try harder. I just need to wake up earlier. If I had more people, if I had more money, if I had this and this and this. But instead of us focusing on what we think we're failing at, we should actually focus on what we think that actual block is in and of itself. And that's kind of what I want to address. Most of the time in our algorithmic world, I can tell you that that block is a cocktail of distraction, comparison, and imitation. Those three things combined will keep you stuck and prevent you from producing as an artist, as a creative, as a technologist, as anyone or anything who brings your ideas to life. And that's what we're going to attempt to unblock. So this concept, I've been ruminating and thinking about it for months and months and months. And you could say this is kind of a hybrid episode, because I know in these podcasts, I typically focus on personal growth, spirituality, with some examples from media, culture, try and answer your questions as we go along. But this may also double as a podcast that's super relevant and could actually be on my company website. So if you're new here, I run a marketing and talent management company called SBM. And today's episode is probably going to be a breakdown that helps you as an individual who's trying to get your ideas out, but it also provides an insight into how we typically like to approach things in our company when we're helping people to grow their brand, develop their brand, develop their business, etc., etc. So on the surface, you might think, what does a marketing company have to do with personal growth? How does that cross over? But the overlap is creativity. We're all designed to create, no matter what job you do, no matter what industry you're in. We're all here to create. We're all here to make. We all bring something out of nothing. And as much as that process is inherent in our humanity, it's also really hard. So let's dive in and figure out how we can start to find our flow again. I won't keep you in suspense for much longer. The answer to this type of creative block is quite simply embracing the risk of being wrong, embracing the risk of it not working, embracing the risk of it being cringe, quote unquote. Once you overcome that, you'll be free. Let me give you three examples that I've experienced over the last, let's say, 15 years that have helped me solidify this thinking. I'll start with the most recent one. So 60 Minutes did a recent interview with the music legend Rick Rubin. He's the co-founder of Def Jam Records. I won't go into all his achievements, but you should absolutely Google him if you don't know who he is. And in that interview, he makes a statement that seems really counterintuitive to what the music business is. He says that in his process of producing iconic tracks, there are literally so many, just search them, like from 99 Problems by Jay-Z to various others. He says the audience comes last. I'll put the link to this video in the show notes and also the accompanying blog on my website so you can watch it and you can see the clip for yourself. The audience comes last is a statement that really throws the interviewer, which makes sense because everyone else will tell you, look at what's working with your audience right now, look at the people they're following and do what they do. And while it's true that things like analytics, trends, asking people's opinions, doing competitor research, etc., can shine a light on the themes that are at the forefront of people's minds, Rubin goes on to explain his logic and he says, the audience doesn't know what they want. The audience only knows what comes before. So when you go out and you're looking at what's been done before, what quote unquote works, what's even worked on your own channels or projects you've done in the past that have really worked or things that people are telling you that they want, they're only basing it on the knowledge that they have. But bear in mind, I've already said earlier that creativity and the process of creation is making something from nothing. So if all your creativity is based on making something from something that has gone before, then it's capped, long story short, because you're not being able to be as innovative as you could be. What you're doing is, instead of reinventing the wheel, which I know is typically a phrase used negatively because you don't always want to do the same thing from scratch, but sometimes you kind of have to create real value. Instead of truly innovating, all you start to do is just improve on the existing wheels, which is cool, it's fine, it's not offensive. But it may not be that interesting. It may not be helping you to spark that joy of creativity. It may not be helping you to come up with truly new ideas that actually solve problems that are needed in the future. And while I was reflecting on these thoughts one day in the gym last week, I was also reminded in my brain of an age-old phrase that has been like imprinted on my mind that comes in and out, and it floated to the surface of my brain. And you may have heard it before, it's quite common, and it says, if I had asked people what they wanted, they would have asked for faster horses. And that quote is allegedly attributed to Henry Ford, who kind of pioneered the mass production of cars. And the principle is basically that if you went out in the streets in the days where we didn't have cars and we were mainly on horse and carriage, people would have just been saying, I want a faster horse. I wish my horse could get me there faster. I wish the road could be clearer. I wish, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This scenario is incredibly relevant because in that example, you could solve the problem they have by trying to find a way to make the horses safely and efficiently move faster while carrying cargo, carrying people, etc. Or you could really focus on the true problem, which wasn't about horses at all. The true problem was the fact that people wanted to get from A to B quicker. How they got there was secondary. Going back to Rick Rubin's quote, if I'm riding a horse and my horse is getting me about, I just want it to be improved. Whereas actually, there could be something that completely revolutionizes my travel just by someone trying to solve the true heart of the problem. It's kind of like when you're sick and you try and treat the symptoms rather than the root cause. It's the same kind of principle. Sometimes in our creative process, we are trying to treat the symptoms. We are trying to beat the algorithm by doing what we think the algorithm wants us to do rather than getting to the root cause, which is creating content that is really truly valuable for what your audience needs. Similarly, it's trying to treat the symptom by looking at what your tech company competitor did and copying their features, as we've seen that on some different social media apps. Copying of features doesn't necessarily mean your app's going to be relevant again. You've actually got to find a new way to usher in a new type of creator, right? If we continue with this idea of social media platforms and we use the example of like an Instagram versus a TikTok, an Instagram can copy TikToks and make them reels, but the true root cause of the issue, or at least one of the root causes of why TikTok is resonating in a way that maybe Instagram isn't at this point in time, is because people feel like they can be their more authentic selves compared to Instagram, which became so mature that everything seemed perfect. That's the root cause. Solve for authenticity rather than trying to solve for the symptoms, which is, oh, we'll just do what they're doing. That's the difference. By shifting away from replicating what works or what somebody else is doing, you give yourself the freedom to really think critically about what's the issue at hand, what's the core focus of what we're trying to solve right now, and it frees you up to create some new solutions, some stuff that people haven't seen before, some stuff that really starts to revolutionize the industry or the discipline that you're in. And that feels really fun. You kind of open this concept of a blue ocean, which is cited in this strategy book called Blue Ocean Strategy. And the idea is that when you go out into your business, instead of trying to compete in a red ocean where there's lots of sharks in the water, stuff is already going on, you look elsewhere, you think outside the box and find a completely blue ocean space that no one has touched because you're thinking about the issue differently. And it's something I really urge a lot of like founders to also think about, because I've worked with some founders who are so desperate to become an overnight success that they just look around and they're like, let's do what they're doing, why aren't we doing that? And they forget the essence that they are trying to solve a specific problem for a specific type of person, and they just lose sight of that. People will say, ask your community what they want, but it's only true to an extent. More of the same, more of what's working isn't always the solution. It's safe and you may make some gains, but you won't break through the way that you want to. Sometimes that continuous feedback loop from the masses isn't the whole truth. It's the truth around what people might mindlessly enjoy right now, but it's not going to be groundbreaking. It's not going to be memorable. It's not going to be standout. And more importantly, it won't be creatively satisfying for you as the person actually creating. And that's also another element of where creative block comes from. When your creativity and your ideation starts to feel like a chore because you're trying to follow a set of rules, it just stifles you. There's no real innovation there. And sometimes the only thing you can do is take a step back, take a risk, and then you start to get back into your flow. And when you get back into your flow and you create something that people haven't seen before, that's why things get adopted at speed, because they're new, they're novel, they're valuable, they solve a true problem, as I've mentioned already, the authenticity problem, or they've solved the travel problem. It's not because they're a replica of what's already out there with a few tweaks. They add and they create value where you may never even have noticed that you needed it in the first place. But obviously, doing something different in a world where everything is always constantly on display and subject to opinion, it feels like a life-altering risk. It feels like you're risking embarrassment. You may be risking spending more money than you expected. And I specifically have chosen not to say wasting money, because no money is wasted if you're always learning, testing, and adopting your strategy. Either way, the risk is one that needs to be taken. I'm going to give you a third and final example. So about 15 years ago, I remember I was in my teens, and I watched a clip once of 50 Cent, the rapper, speaking about how he manages the pressure to make an album that's as good as the last one. And I find that this is the case for a lot of music artists. There's a lot of pressure, and you see it when they release an album. It even happened with Beyonce's Renaissance album last year when it got released, and people were like, oh, this is so different. Like, at first, it's scary because sometimes you just want to do what has pleased the people before. So yeah, 50 Cent really starts to talk about how he manages this for himself, and it really stuck with me. Can you tell? I'm still talking about it like 15 years later. And I have searched all the keywords that I could possibly imagine to try and find this clip for you. I cannot find it. Maybe one day someone in 50 Cent's team will hear this podcast and be able to dig it out for me. But it really, really stuck with me. And he basically said that expecting a music artist to create the same style of album every single time is like asking a fine artist, like a painter or someone who draws, to make the same picture over and over again. It just doesn't make sense. No one wants to go to a museum and see 10 versions of Guernica or something. No one wants to go to a museum and see the same installation in every single room. You want to see variety. You might like a genre, but even within that genre, you don't want to see the same thing over and over again. It just doesn't make sense. And that really stuck with me as a teen, because it just helped me to create a framework from which to release myself in terms of my creative ideas. It released me to be able to make new stuff without feeling like a failure, to make new things without the fear of failure. And as someone who's a perfectionist, you always want to get it right every time on the first try. And it's a constant tension, it's a constant battle to actually just create for the sense of freedom, accepting that some things may be used, some things may not. Some things may not make it off the proverbial cutting room floor, and that's okay because you'll have more ideas anyway. Creativity is a well that if you nurture it, it never runs dry. And this even happens for me with episodes of this podcast. I have loads of ideas around how I want to answer some of the questions that have come up through my social channels or things that you've asked me. And not all of them make it to an episode because they just aren't robust enough or good enough to be discussed at length. When it comes to true innovation, I find that there's like one essential big truth, which is no matter what century we're in, to become truly memorable, to be able to cut through the thousands of pieces of content that we digest each day, you've got to continually run the risk of doing something different. And that thing isn't guaranteed to work. You've got to continually commit to staying disconnected from what's trending long enough so that you can generate the trends instead of following them. When you focus too much on what's trending, you start to manifest these stories that we see of people who've built up millions of followers and can't even convert 5 sales, 10 sales, 300 sales. They've got millions of followers, they can't make 300 sales. Potentially because they've built according to a formula that gives them the numbers, but doesn't give them the connection, doesn't give them the cut through, isn't solving a problem of true value. You can't keep building according to the formula without realizing that deviating from the formula is the formula. You've got to strike the balance between being consistent with what's working for you and introducing wild cards every so often to keep things fresh, to innovate, to solve problems and make those big, big gains in leaps and bounds. In my business, we know that different types of content serve different purposes. What might garner lots of attention through trends, there is a place for trends, I'm not against them, but it won't always be the thing that sells your highest priced services or products. Sometimes the unsexy random idea is what translates to cash. And that doesn't mean that reaching thousands isn't valuable. Reaching people matters. Just be aware that there are different solutions and different strategies for different goals, and that applies to everything. So just when you're thinking about how you approach a problem or how you're creating new features in your business, and I think this really applies to something like if you're creating like an app, some features and apps are really functional and they improve the experience of the product, and some features just entertain and delight your user or your community, and that's okay. Just understanding that not all things are created the same, not all content is used for the same goal, not all features in your business or services serve the same purpose. Everything is an ecosystem and they feed into each other. That diversity is really important to retain. So what would I say as my parting words to the creators, which are all of us, the creators of the future? I would say create from what you believe you need to see, say, or share. We all have unique messages, unique ideas that we need to bring to the fore. Create from what you really think is going to help people, where you really think the value is, not what you think is going to work or you think that they've asked for. I can't guarantee that each attempt will be a success, but I can guarantee that if you keep experimenting, eventually sparks will fly, and then it's up to you to make the most of the moment from there. I hope this has helped. Let me know your thoughts as always. Catch me on socials, linked in the show notes. Let me know your thoughts. Keep asking questions and we'll talk on the next episode. Thank you for listening. And before I go, if this has helped you in any way, please share it to your social media channels, text it to a friend. I love to see all the tags that I got in last week's podcast. I really, really appreciated it. I saw it on your stories. I saw it on people's social feeds. Honestly, it helps so much. I'm starting this pretty much from scratch. I think we're on episode 5 or 6 by this point. There's more to come. I want to record this in video format, so I'm working on that in the background as well. But the more you share, the more I can continue to do this. So if this has helped you, if you found some value in any way, let me know. Share, vote, like, all the stuff. You know all the things to do. I don't need to tell you. But thank you for listening. I'm so grateful. And I want to hear your feedback on this. I hope this has released some creative block in you and that you are ready to tackle the week ahead.